here's a shocking newsflash. If you want to get to the top of Google, do what they tell you to do.
You're listening to Real Marketing Real Fast, the only podcast that brings you unfiltered, undaunted, insider information on the latest tools and technologies for online marketers. Prepare to dive deep into marketing myths, breakthrough models, and cutting-edge strategies that will have an immediate impact on the growth of your business. And now, here's your host, marketing expert Doug Morneau.
Well, welcome back, listeners, to another episode of Real Marketing Real Fast. Today, I think you're really going to enjoy our conversation. I've got a guest with me in the studio, Jason McDonald. Now, Jason teaches business owners the art and science of getting anything to the top of search engines. He's the director of JM Internet Group, and he's a brilliant SEO and digital marketing expert. He's the author of several books, Amazon bestsellers, digital marketing books, SEO fitness workbook, social media marketing workbook, and the AdWords workbook. In 1994, before he started digital marketing, it was even a big thing, Jason started his own technology-focused blog on the domain eg3.com. He reached over 50,000 subscribers with embedded systems in the engineering community worldwide. Today, through teaching digital marketing courses and corporate workshops, Jason pursues his passion of taking complex topics and making them easy and practical for small business and marketers to understand. So I'd like to welcome you to the show today.
Thank you for having me.
So is there anything that I may have missed in your bio, your introduction and update?
Yeah, I am a former cat person who is now a passionate dog person. I think you forgot to mention that.
That's excellent. I'm so happy to hear that.
It's a transition that few people make and even fewer make successfully.
Okay, well, maybe we'll save for another conversation how you made that transition. But looking at your background, and you have so much to offer. And one of the things that really intrigued me was that you said you can help anybody get anything to the top of the search engine. Do you want to expand just a little bit on that?
Yes. So my philosophy about like search engine optimization is, you know, sort of an inspiration perspiration philosophy. So I think a lot of people are like inspiration, like they're like, wow, I'm so excited and do this and you make a gazillion dollars. And then you're like, what do I actually do, right? What's actually concrete about how to do it? And then there are sort of like the whole dummies books on that you'll find on Amazon. Those are what I call perspiration books, where you're just like in the weeds and you're changing your .htaccess file and you're all this stuff and you're like, how does this fit in the big picture? And what I sort of try to train people to do is sort of find that balance between those two aspects of digital marketing and then implement it. And so with a little knowledge, you need knowledge and a little passion, but with a fair amount of hard work, you really can, you know, within reason, get almost anything up there and it can work for your business. And that's, I like the practical hands-on part of it as much as I like the inspiration, like we're so excited part of it.
So what are some of the myths that you'd find around that statement? And I'm not picking on the statement. I love the idea that we can get stuff to the top of Google. I mean, obviously, there's a number of reasons why it's good for our business. So what are some of the myths around, you know, first page rankings?
I would say one of the myths that people have that is a huge misunderstanding is people think it's a purely technical problem. I think a big myth that people have about search engine optimization is that only nerds, only people that have PhDs from, you know, Yale University in computer science can do this. And that's not, I'm not sure it was ever true, but it's really not true today in an environment in which, because of changes at Google, you know, semantic search, the movement to natural language, the movement to content marketing, you know, a lot of practical marketing, you know, sort of aspects can really help. And, you know, you don't need to be a PhD in computer science to do this, even though it's been very much mystified, you know, by Google and by the kind of techno nerds. So I think that's a huge myth, is that only computer nerds can do this. That really is not true. I think that's the first myth that I would say. And the second myth, you know, sort of in somewhat contradiction to the first one, is that it's always changing, which is not really true as well. The basic principles evolve, but they don't change nearly as rapidly as people think. And so again, that's why my first book is called The Fitness Workbook. You know, here's a newsflash. If you'd like to get fit, eat less and exercise more, right? That has not changed.
Despite the
fads of, you know, whatever the current fad is, right? So it's kind of similar. The basic stuff is very high value. And you know, almost anyone can do it if they put their mind to it.
Well, I guess in this, you know, this day and age where I call it the microwave mentality, we want everything instantly.
Absolutely. Yes. That's a good instant gratification.
So, you know, in a practical sense, so, you know, I'm an entrepreneur, I've got a website or I've got a WordPress blog and I want to start having my site rank better. What sort of time commitment or what's a realistic expectation? Because you talked about, you know, eat less and exercise more. And what I tell people is, you know, when I was heavy and I was fat, I didn't get fat in the day. I just gained a pound a month. And you do that for, you know, 12 months and then for several years. And guess what? You have a problem. So how long should people, and it took me that long to remove it, right? So how long should people expect to invest to get some ROI?
Yeah. So, you know, I hate to say this, but it depends, right? So here's what it depends on. So first and foremost, it depends on the competitive level of the keyword. So if you say, hey, I want to be number one for car insurance, I'm like, okay, great. You have a budget of a couple hundred thousand per month and you've got a staff of 55 people to work on it, right? Oh, but that's very different if you say, well, I want to be number one for hair transplant Vancouver. That's very doable and very much within the reach of a small business. Or let's say you have some very unique widget, you know, that, you know, is a sort of a grow light for cannabis plants, right? Something very, very narrow, very trendy, that's a different animal. So the first thing is it's going to depend on competitive level and how niche something is. Then once you know that, once you know your keywords and you kind of know the competitive landscape, then there's some sort of basic stuff you need to know about SEO, just like you'd have to know some things about physical fitness. And then, you know, for most small businesses that are up and running and have a viable website and a decent product and the business is successful because it's not trying to do everything for everyone, you know, maybe 4 or 5 hours a month is really what's required of the small business owner to really stay on top, you know, again, with a little knowledge. So it's not the kind of time commitment that you'd think. It's a knowledge commitment. Like you have to know how to do it in the right way. And then you also have to be realistic. You can't have some unrealistic goal like I want to be number one for car insurance. You know, you got to choose your battles.
Yeah, fair comment. And one of the things I learned about SEO just kind of by accident was when I started my podcast, I transcribed all the episodes. And I think it speaks to your comment about natural language because, you know, by the time you and I are finished talking today, we're going to have a transcription that's going to probably be between 5,000 and 6,000 words.
Yeah, well, sure. I mean, this is one of the big trends is, you know, Google. I mean, look at the Google devices in your home, look at Alexa. You know, one of the trends that they are very keen on and, you know, of things to do in life is don't fight the trends, try to work with them. One of the trends that they're very keen on is natural language speech. So writing in the way that people speak is a huge trend. And this gets to kind of the earlier problem, right? It's not as technical as it used to be, because if you understand that people go to Google and they, you know, cannabis for some reason is on my mind, not because I'm pro cannabis, but because, you know, this is kind of out there and I get weird inquiries over the web and I've got a lot of these lately.
Yep.
We're starting a cannabis farm and we want to be number one. And I'm like, okay, I don't support drugs, so I won't take your project, but I'm very interested in the linguistic, like how did marijuana become cannabis suddenly, right?
Yeah.
But anywho, so there is this idea of like, you know, knowing the search that people are going to talk to their machine. They're going to say, you know, Google, you know, what is a grow light for cannabis plants? And then spitting that back to Google by writing in the way that you talk is a new emerging sort of tip of SEO. So in a certain way, it's really good news, right? If you can just speak in relatively good English and correct sentences and you can transcribe that, then, you know, boom, you can pretty much blog.
That's interesting because one of the things I learned, again, just by the process of having the podcast was I have several clients that we do work for and they're challenged with writing blog posts. So I've taken now to using my podcasting equipment just to simply interview them and then publish the interview. Again, like you said, so it's natural language and it's not a big time commitment. It's a 20, 30 minute commitment to get a ton of relevant content on your website. Do you have any feedback or maybe tips or suggestions in that space?
Yeah. So let's just focus on SEO. So I have a couple clients that do hair transplants, right? And I need one myself, but that's another story. But so think like people speak, like what they do. So people will start with like, you know, what is a hair transplant? Very soon they're going to realize there's two big technologies. There's what's called FUI, follicular unit extraction, and foot follicular unit transplantation. So then how do people sort of talk to their Google devices? You know, what is FUI? What is follicular unit extraction? And then people will use words like best, top rated. So they'll say, hey, Google, what is the best hair transplant in the Bay Area? Well, then guess what? If you write a blog post that's like, how do you choose the best hair transplant in the Bay Area? You're literally kind of spitting back at Google the answers to the questions that people are asking. The other thing, you know, pay attention, right? Pay attention to what you see in the search space. If you go to Google and you type in searches like, you know, what is a hair transplant? What is follicular unit extraction? You'll see what are called the answer boxes. So these answer boxes are emerging on Google, and this is a maybe 2-3-year-old thing, but it's becoming more and more important. And those answer boxes are both visual on the visual web when you're looking at the search engine, but what they're really getting to is artificial intelligence. When you're talking to Siri, when you're talking to a Google device, when you're talking to Alexa, and they're trending towards that. So the takeaway, the practical takeaway here for somebody in the audience, right, is figure out what your company sells, right? And then figure out the derivations of the questions that your customers are asking, and then answer those questions kind of, you know, with the little tips and tricks that I'm going to teach you, say, in SEO, on your blog, and you can show for what's called the answer box on Google. And guess what? You're looking to the future. You're going to show when the digital device is talking to that person. So that's where, you know, you need to know the keywords, you need to know the questions, and then from there you need to create the content. So it's a little train of sequential events that people need to know.
So just want to shift gears slightly and talk a little bit about social media. So how does social media complement or interact with your SEO strategy, or does it?
It does. There's a big misunderstanding here though. So first and foremost, it's sort of funny. So you've got your people that do SEO, you've got your people that do social media. And I'm a bit of a jack of all trades. I really want to know all the pieces of digital marketing, and that's a useful thing to do. SEO is heavily influenced by review marketing, by reviews on Google, reviews on Yelp. You know, if you're an attorney, review on a site like avvo.com. But for whatever reason, the social media crowd, they're like fixated on Snapchat and Instagram and all that, which is great and important, but reviews kind of got caught betwixt and between, right? So the SEO people don't understand review marketing, and they think of it as social media. And the social media crowd looks at reviews and thinks of it like it's SEO. And guess what? It's extremely high value, especially to local businesses. So if you're a local business, you know, pizza or hair salon or massage therapist, just go look at your Google searches and you're going to see that Google snack pack. So the first big takeaway is that reviews, especially on Google, but also on Yelp, are very important and influence SEO heavily. And reviews kind of straddle SEO and social, right? So that's one takeaway that I think people really miss. The second takeaway is if you come to me and say, I want to rank on Google for fill in the blank keyword, you know, I want to rank on Google for organic grow lights or cannabis. Okay, fine. If you want to do that, Twitter is the most important network to Google, because Google Plus failed. It's a kind of a complete failure. And in Facebook, right? Google and Facebook, no likey. That doesn't work very well. And you know, so you've got to kind of look at the landscape. And Google and Twitter have a partnership where Google kind of slurps the content from Twitter. Now, Twitter is really important for search, because how does Google know a trending topic, right? You know, down here in America, right, in the USA, we are just all infatuated with our president. And, you know, what does this guy do? He tweets 24 hours a day. So Twitter is how you find out the trending news, not just about Donald Trump, love him or hate him, whatever. But Google really, it pays a lot of attention to Twitter for trending topics. So then this speaks to why, as an SEO person, as a person who wants to rank on Google, you need to play the Twitter game, if only to use Twitter to influence Google. So Twitter and reviews are two areas where social really impacts SEO. And I think both of those are often overlooked.
Well, I'm really happy you said that. I mean, I'm starting, the more I talk to you, I think the more I'm liking you. You like dogs, not cats. And now you like Twitter. And my friend's just saying, Twitter, who uses Twitter?
No, I don't dislike cats. Don't get me wrong. I like cats. I dislike dogs better.
Okay, sorry.
I don't want to get spammed by the haters of the cat community. I like cats. I dislike dogs better.
And okay, yet, fair enough.
Yeah. Twitter is a social media that I think is sort of, it's gone through every cycle, right? It was really faddy and everyone did it and it was great. It was like the top of the fad cycle. And then it crashed. Everyone hated it and was so stupid and, you know, it was dead. And then now it's kind of like back from the dead, and it's for better or for worse, it's been helped by the fact that the president tweets, you know, 24 hours a day. So it's kind of gone through these cycles. But Twitter, there's a lot of cool stuff on Twitter that is important. There's a lot of junk and craziness, but, you know, yeah, Twitter's cool.
Well, and I'm a big fan of the review sites. I mean, Yelp is my best friend when I travel. You use the example of San Francisco. When I get into San Francisco and, you know, I like to stay down on 4th and Market because there's a lot of restaurants down there. I pull up the Yelp, find out what I want, then go talk to the concierge. So these are the places I really like to get into. Can you book me in? So it's good to hear that the review sites are still well and growing.
Well, and the Google review too. People go to Google and the Google reviews will, you know, if you put in pizza, you'll see the Google sites that have Google reviews on them. So Google reviews are incredibly important. You know, again, if that's relevant for your business, if it's not. But, you know, just, you know, one of the best exercises that entrepreneurs can do is sort of like, you know, try to like brainwash out of your brain everything that you know about your business and just pretend that you're kind of a dumb customer who's bumbling around. Like, how do I find, you know, whatever? So let's say I'm losing my hair. What do? I start, well, I'm going to Google hair loss, and then I'm going to discover, well, what's a hair transplant? And then I'm going to learn there's this technology. And then I want to do one. I'm not going to just Google hair transplant. I'm going to put hair transplant Bay Area or hair transplant, you know, Tulsa, Oklahoma, because I'm going to want somebody local, right? So it's a really good exercise to look at the world from the perspective of your customer. But here's the trick. You got to brainwash out everything that you know as the expert and look at the world, you know, in this virgin way. And then in this case, you're very shortly going to run into Google reviews and Yelp if it's a local business.
Yeah, and I guess that's the way I think of it as well. It's like, what, you know, I would say to people, if somebody was looking for your company, product, or service, what would they likely type in the search engine to find you? And you identified there that there's several stages. So they might be really early in their stage doing research, which is one page to optimize for. Now they know your technology, that's the second page. And then they might go to something else like a consumer report or review site to see how you're rated. So those are kind of three different stages in the buying process where your potential customers look for you, and you could optimize, I guess, in each of those.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's a sort of another funny sort of tip/story, right? If you go to Google and you type in Google SEO starter guide, right? Here's a newsflash. Google has actually produced a document which will tell you the basics. It doesn't tell you everything, but it tells you the basics of what you need to rank on Google. So once you know that Google has produced this guide, you can go look it up and then you can read it. And then here's a shocking newsflash. If you want to get to the top of Google, do what they tell you to do.
That's good.
Who thought, right? You know, how crazy, right? Follow their instructions. And it's not everything, but again, for many small businesses, you'll look at that and you'll realize there's some very basic, like the structure of your content and how you use tags and how you use images and things like that, that are very basic to talking to Google. And I've dealt with lots of companies, and oftentimes very small changes to get their web content up to best practices, tremendous impact in their rankings, and then they love me, and then they pay my invoice, and everyone's happy.
There you go. That's the way it's supposed to be. So I want to go back to something you said earlier. Just want to make sure that our listeners get this. And the notes that I made were you talked about three potential tactics. And I would say that in my work with clients, that people often work in silos. And one silo might be advertising, and one might be marketing, and the other might be sales. But you've said SEO, social media, and reviews. And I think that, you know, I just want to emphasize the point that there's some synergy by having someone like yourself that's looking at all aspects. So we're not fighting over budget and fighting over content. So at least your brand is congruent in the marketplace. So every place they look is talking the same language.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these things have merged together in lots of important ways. And if you have a company that's large enough, you can get to this problem of everyone's in their own little silo, as you say. And, you know, take reviews, for instance, right? Reviews, you know, if you Google pizza, you just, you know, try this at home, try this on your phone. Google pizza, and you're going to see the companies that rank at the top have a lot of reviews on Google. They have more reviews than the other people, right? But then look at the human aspect, right? So the person, the physical person, the carbon-based life form who is bringing the pizza to you, right? You know, hey, did you like the pizza? You did. Would you do us a favor? Would you go and write a review on Google? So this is an example where the frontline staff, the real, you know, face-to-face human has a tremendous impact on the digital performance of the company by being that frontline person who can ask that happy customer, write us a review. So you don't want to think of the real world and the digital world as completely separate, because they're not. They're very interrelated.
That's a great point. I worked with a retailer that was having some problems. They had a number of stores, a chain of stores, and one wasn't working well. So we went in to kind of clean it up and make it work. That's one of the things we taught the staff, is when the customer pays you a compliment, says thank you, or, you know, I really appreciate your service, say, would you mind? Because they've just asked, they've just said, hey, you're doing a great job, so would you mind writing a review?
Absolutely. I mean, the number one thing the business can do to get more reviews is ask happy campers and be aware of that moment when the person says, I mean, try this experiment, buy one of my books and send me an email and say, hey, I loved your book. And immediately I will send an email back that says, really? You like my book? Do me a favor, write me a review on Amazon. And I have like 500 reviews of my book on Amazon. You know, and the reason I have like 500 reviews is crazy strategy. I ask people when they're happy, do me a favor. And it's so simple, but so many businesses first don't see and understand the value of reviews and the reviews on the in the digital world, and then second, don't follow up with just like what needs to happen to make this, you know, happen. What do we need to do this? And that's an easy. Now there are other examples too. I mean, you can be more technical, like, oh, I need to rank on Google for, you know, cannabis grow lights. Well, you need to create content that says that, and you need to know a little bit about HTML tags, and you need to put in your title tag of your blog post or your landing page, and you put that keyword in there. So you need to know a little bit about the technical side of this to succeed. That's another super high value. To do is to know a little bit about HTML tags and how they communicate to Google, and then to embed your keywords into your tags.
So how do you find, like, what's your working relationship with your clients? Do you focus mainly on done for you, or do you focus on teaching people and helping entrepreneurs learn how to do this so they can look after it themselves, or maybe have their team look after it?
Yeah. So I'm a huge believer in like learning by doing and being practical. But I make most of my money off of my books on Amazon. So it's my number one revenue source by far is sales of my books on Amazon. And then I teach for Stanford Continuing Studies. I also teach online. So I teach for their online program. But in order to kind of stay sharp and know how the real world works, you know, at any given moment, I have about 10 or 15 clients. And I love my clients. But I really love the fact that because I'm down in the trenches with them, I learn the practical stuff that you need to know. So I really use that knowledge to be better at writing better books and being a better teacher. But my passion is really the books and the teaching. And that's what I do. So I try to, you know, kind of use my clients, so to speak, as, you know, my learning, my training ground is my sort of theory.
Good for you. I was just down at an event in San Diego for podcasters, and someone asked a really interesting question. They said, so when you're tired, what's one or three things that you would do that when you're finished that would give you more energy? And I was thinking, you know, to your point, I like teaching. And for a long time, I wouldn't teach because there's just too many people that didn't have the real experience. They had education, but not like you're doing in the trenches. What's working today? What's changing? And just kind of following the market.
Yeah, no, I'm huge. I mean, I love analogies. Anyone who reads my books or takes my classes, I'm like king of analogies. And the analogy I like for like SEO and really for social media as well is cooking, right? So cooking is about inspiration. You're like, oh, I'm going to have a dinner party. Oh, I'm going to make a souffle. You have to have this inspiration to be a good cook. And I'm a really good cook, and I've got my passion about being a good cook from my mom. My mom's an incredible cook. However, you need to know the practicalities as well, right? You need to know how to break those eggs, and you need to know how to whip them in the right way, right? You have to know some technical, practical steps to succeed and to be a good cook. So it's both technical and inspirational. And that, I think, is the conceptual problem that most people struggle with, is they think it's all technical. It is not all technical. You know, you can't make a good dinner party if you don't have some inspiration about what you want to cook. You can't just go randomly crack eggs in your kitchen. That doesn't work, right? But you can't also just be inspirational and be like, wow, wouldn't it be great if we had a souffle? That doesn't work that way either. So this digital marketing has this synergy between practical knowledge and inspirational knowledge. And I think most businesses have this same sort of little dance that goes on. And once you kind of see that dance, and I think cooking is a great metaphor, a great analogy to see this, that's what good cooking is about. And that's how I like to think of it. And that's why I like to have, I would never want to just write books. How could you write books about SEO or social media or AdWords if you actually hadn't done it? Right. Oh, you'd be a professor at a major university. But other than that, how would you do it? Right.
Yeah. Fair enough. Hey, I'm not going to touch that. We'll just, you don't want to talk about
cats. Professors of marketing, right? Because I mean, they're just like, how can you possibly teach marketing if you've actually never done marketing? I mean, how strange is that? Right.
Well, you know, I'm hoping one day to get an honorary PhD. I just didn't want to take the education. I wanted to actually make some stuff work. So that's how what I'm looking at for my degree. So if you ever do see me get a degree, you know, it wasn't because I went to school. It's because I actually did that for people. So search engine. So talk about Amazon for a minute. So I've heard people say that Amazon is the best search engine to rank on because it's full of people who already have put their credit card information in.
Yeah. Yeah. So trends in the culture, trends in what's going on, you know, secret things that people really miss. People will often say, like, what is Google's competition, right? Is it Bing? You know, no, it's not Bing. Hello, right? Bing is not Google's competition, right? Yeah. Amazon, right? And this is why, right? When you want to buy something, you want to buy dog food, or you want to buy a webcam, right? You will so often start at Amazon.com. And this really drives Google crazy, right? Because so many of the quote money searches where you're ready to buy a product go to Amazon. And you really want to think of Amazon as a search engine that's very competitive to Google for those product searches. And then guess what? Amazon, like a Google, there are attributes of how it works, which we can talk about, that you can influence to rank on Google. But what you don't want to do is say, well, I'm going to sell webcams and I'm only going to optimize for Google when, you know, 80% of your audience is going to start at Amazon. You're in the wrong place, right? If that's what you're selling. So again, back to thinking like kind of a dumb customer. If that blank customer, hey, I need a new webcam, and they're going to go right to Amazon, then you as the vendor, you need to optimize for Amazon, right? You can't, you got to think like a customer. And a lot of us, myself included, start on Amazon for anything that's product, right? If I never go into another store, I will be overjoyed, right? Because it's click buy done, right? I don't even price shop, right? It's Amazon's not even the cheapest anymore. I don't care. It's easy, done, right? So Amazon is huge as a search engine, huge.
So that's new information to me in terms of optimizing for Amazon. I've never thought of that. I've heard the conversation, but I never thought there's a special way or there's a, you know, particular approach you take to do that. So what are the main differences? Is this something that's easy for, you know, a guy like me or people that have a web business to understand?
It is easy. I don't know. I mean easy, but it, you know, Amazon is first like epiphany is Amazon is a search engine, right? Who thought, right? It's a search engine. Amazon has algorithms, right? Amazon has many attributes that are similar to Google. So take the idea of keywords, right? So if you go to Amazon, like one of my favorite searches when I teach people Amazon is go to Amazon and type in, you know, garage door remote, right? And you're going to see a result. It's usually number one, sometimes number two. And I swear, you know, to God, right? I swear to the deities, right? The name of this product is like garage door clicker opener remote control for your garage, right? So they named the product off of garage door. What else could we say? It could be called a remote. It could be called an opener. It could be called a clicker. And this product is literally called the garage door opener remote door clicker opener for you, right? Now, why did they do that? Because the people that sell this sat down and they thought through, what are the synonyms, right? Keywords, which is huge for SEO. Is it lawyer? Is it attorney? Is it law firm, right? I often tell my mom, hey, mom, I don't do reality. I just play word games 24 hours a day, right? So lawyer, law firm, attorney, right? Clicker, garage door, remote, you know, control, right? So you got to know your keywords. That's the first thing. And then on Amazon, the product name needs to regurgitate the target keywords. And I would hope you have a little bit more class than naming your product, you know, clicker, remote door, whatever. However, the point is well taken. The keywords need to be in the product name. That's similar to the title tag on Google, right? Now, yep. Here's where Amazon is very different than Google, right? Amazon is very sensitive to two attributes that do not exist on Google. Reviews. The more reviews, the better you rank on Amazon. So that's true on Google Local, but generally we don't think about that on Google. So the reviews on Amazon are critical to rank on Amazon, right? And the second thing, which is really has no equivalent on Google, is sales. So Amazon is very sensitive to, are people buying this product? So a product that sells on Amazon will tend to outrank a product that does not sell. Okay. Now, you as a vendor, you can do a lot of things. We can discuss those, some of those things. There are things that you can do to influence the reviews, the sales. And then another concept is what's called velocity, how fast something's selling, and you can juice that and change that around. So there's a lot of little to-dos that you as a vendor, as an entrepreneur, if Amazon matters to you, that you can influence to get your product to rank on Amazon. So there's a lot of things you can do that are pretty cool.
Well, with the new voice search that's coming out, I would think that Amazon should matter to everybody.
Yeah. And I'm full disclosure, I own a lot of stock in Amazon. I love Amazon. I make a lot of money on Amazon. And I think Alexa is really crushing it. I mean, I think Alexa is really going to crush it in the home device market. And the Google devices are not doing so well. And part of that is because of the connection to, you know, hey, I need dog food, you know, Alexa, buy it for me. That's the future.
Yeah. And I heard an episode with Gary Vee, which was kind of interesting because I was looking at my kids. We've got, you know, three adult kids and how much they use text and voice. And the example was, you know, we're sitting around, we're having a coffee at Starbucks and we say, hey, let's go for dinner. So it's like, hey, you know, find me a good Italian restaurant in the Bay Area. Up comes the options and then book me the reservation and is done and put the phone down, carry on until we're time to go for dinner.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think in that way, I think Google and, you know, Amazon are very competitive one to the other. And in some ways, I think Amazon is a stronger play. And then, you know, given that this podcast is speaking to entrepreneurs, you have to say, am I selling something that people are going to go to Amazon on first, right? The Amazon.com, the website and all that jazz. But the other thing is, you know, entrepreneurship is about looking to the future and look at these devices in the home. And like you said, think about what people would say into the device. Hey, Amazon, you know, could you make us reservations at such and such restaurant, you know, here, you know, in San Francisco, right? So the Amazon devices in the home are very relevant to search. And then you have to think, well, what are people going to look for on these devices? And are there some new businesses that might emerge in this kind of new Amazon ecosystem? And maybe Google will hang on there with number two in the Google devices or Siri, but Amazon's got a big lead in that.
Well, I'll have to try that when we finish the podcast. I'll just ask Google or ask Siri, can you make me a reservation at the Farallon for four for dinner?
Yeah, not quite there yet, but it's coming.
Very cool. So I'm just looking at, I took a chance because I'm an online guy. We talked offline about tools and I love being online. So I just pulled up your profile on Amazon and there you are, 218 reviews on your social media workbook, How to Use Social Media for Business, and 562 on SEO Fitness Workbook. That's amazing. So no doubt that you're getting lots of traction from the number of reviews.
Oh yeah, for sure. I love people that review me in sort of deep, dark, dirty, not dirty, but secret, right? Anyone who sends me an email says, hey, I'm trying to buy your book, I've got this problem, blah, blah, blah. I will always offer them a copy and say, hey, I'll send you a free copy. Just please do me a favor and write a review on Amazon. And, you know, a part of your strategy to success on Amazon is to give away product to those interested persons who reach out to you. And then just say, hey, you know, do me a favor, write me a short, honest review when you're done. And, you know, if you give away a few copies that no one, they don't follow through, you know, whatever. But it's huge, huge to just really motivate. When somebody takes the time to send you an email, they're motivated, and people are so thankful when you answer their question and say, hey, you know, I'll send you a free copy. Just do me a favor. It's huge. And it's so obvious once you get it. And that's part of Amazon's strategy.
Well, and I think that, you know, to that comment, you could apply that to just about anything online. I'm often surprised and excited when people just respond on social media. I've done a number of posts on social media not working because people aren't social. They look at social like this is a broadcast platform opposed to this is a platform to, you know, begin a dialogue and hopefully take that dialogue offline.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, other things you can do with social, right, is, you know, here's a shocker. Go read what other people are saying and interact with them and ask them questions. I mean, I've used this with journalists before. You know, send them an email that says, hey, I loved the article that I just read. It was really interesting, but here's my feedback. And you, that's how you build relationships with journalists, that people are actually reading what they're writing. So, you know, it is social media, right? That's the idea, right?
Well, and, you know, and it's interesting because the conversation that we had as we started, you said, I've listened to a couple of your episodes. And so you had an idea of the style. And often as a podcaster, we'll have people pitched to be a guest and they've never listened to an episode. And I'm thinking, well, why, you know, what sort of integrity do you have in your business if you're going to ask for an interview with a media outlet and you have no idea what that's going to look like for your business?
Yeah, absolutely. And you want to think about the genre. And your show is about entrepreneurs. I love entrepreneurs. I love small businesses. That's what I like to do and work with. And sort of, you know, I was sort of telling you beforehand, you know, I kind of am a recovering intellectual. I mean, I do have a PhD. and then I had to like get a real job. But, you know, but I love, I found my niche in that I love adult learners. I love entrepreneurs. I like helping other people kind of understand the technical things that I know to help them with their dreams and aspirations. That's how I get kind of my kicks. But I really don't want to be on a cooking podcast, right? It's not relevant to me. I don't do that. That's not what I might listen to one, but I wouldn't, I mean,
it's not a fit for who you are. Yeah, yep, I get that.
That's not my.
So what's one tool you'd recommend that entrepreneurs that are listening that want to get a start on their SEO? Is there any magic tool? We talked online about tools and both of us liking to buy those sort of things.
Yeah. So I love tools and I chart all sorts of free tools. And, you know, I say sort of a couple tools that I like that are kind of fun and different. So I think you'll listen to a lot of entrepreneur shows or technical shows and people talk about like the keyword tool. So if you just go to Google and you Google like Uber Suggest, that's a fun free keyword tool that I think a lot of people know about. And that is pulls the autocomplete. So that's a good keyword discovery system is Uber Suggest. But another tool that I think the most interesting tool, and you know, spoiler alert, it does cost money, that is really fascinating is the BuzzSumo tool. It does have a very limited free functionality, but for $99 a month, it will pull like what's trending. So you can put in your keyword, you know, organic food or cannabis or whatever your little entrepreneur thing is doing, and it will sort for you like what's getting the most shares on Facebook, what's getting the most shares on LinkedIn, on Pinterest, on Twitter. And then you can dive in to see like, especially on Twitter, like who the top influencers are. So I really like the BuzzSumo tool as a window into social trends. Now it's $99 a month, but what you can do is just buy the tool for a month. And if you're an entrepreneur, put in some of the keywords that you think are, you know, your business is on, and you can export the data and pull it out. So you can kind of, you know, pay $100 essentially, pull a lot of data, and then really investigate like what are people responding to, sharing, talking about, you know, on social. And I adore that tool. And I don't make any money from the tool. I just really think it's a great tool.
But what are the things you mentioned, I mean, that make sense even for your advertising strategy? So if you're running Google paid ads or Facebook ads or Twitter ads or any sort of ad, it's helpful to know what people are looking for, opposed to you trying to convert on some topic or some word that's very difficult.
Yeah, and not just looking for, what are they talking about? What are they sharing? What are they interacting with, right? Which speaks to not just what they're searching for, but what's kind of... scratching that itch that they have. And that's sort of the essence of entrepreneurship, right? Is to find an itch and scratch it. And then in this BuzzSumo tool really helps you see those trends. Another tool that's free that's kind of similar, but it's hashtagify.me. So hashtagify, so hashtagify.me. And it's a hashtag search engine based on Twitter. And so you can put in like kind of a theme, like, you put in organic and you'll see like vegan and, and healthy food, and it'll give you the relationships that people are sharing on these hashtags. And it's free for Twitter, and the paid version also does Instagram. And I like that one. Again, I'm really interested in social buzz and trends and themes. And again, I think a good entrepreneur looks to the trends and tries to capitalize the trends. So what are the tools to help you see the trends in advance, or as close to in advance as possible?
Well, and on that, there's a huge opportunity. It's something that we've capitalized on before. And that is, if you've got a WordPress blog and it's been well optimized by Google, and you post a new blog post, it's most often, or at least I've seen situations where it's indexed within the hour, because I get a Google alert saying it's live. So you could, in the morning, look for what's trending, have a conversation like you and I are having a conversation, upload it, do some basic SEO. And by the time that people get off work at 6 o'clock, see the news, go type it into Google, you can rank.
Yeah, absolutely. Trend watching. There's a guy named David Meerman Scott, and he has this concept called newsjacking. And go to YouTube and put in newsjacking, that's really what he's kind of putting his hat on there is that you figure out the trending topic and then you pounce on it, with your own angle. And YouTube, for instance, there's a lot of ways you can newsjack on YouTube. And I think that's trends are very important to entrepreneurship in general. So yeah, any trend watching tools, and I have a bunch that I use, but I'm very interested in.
Well, you're finding the starving crowd.
Yeah, exactly. You're scratching the itch. There's a lot of ways you can. Yep. I mean, as dog people, we know it's all about scratching itches, but you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying. Okay, so why don't you share with our listeners, what are the best places for people to find you? And then before we wrap up, I'm going to ask you a couple more questions.
Yeah, so easy ways to find me, you can just go to Amazon, you can put in Jason McDonald, or you can go to Amazon, you put in SEO, or you can put in social media, or you can put in AdWords, and my books are always at the top on Amazon for those relevant keywords. You can also just Google me. You just Google Jason McDonald, and I'm generally always at the top of Google. I'm sometimes duking it out with a baseball star and another guy that has six-pack abs, but it is sort of revenge of the nerds. I can usually outrank the people with six-pack abs for my own name on Google. That's the easiest way to find me.
Excellent. That's funny. Now, in terms of your book, do you want to share with us a little bit more about the new book that you're writing?
Yeah. So I'm in the trenches of writing a new book. And I always think that writing a new book is the closest thing that men can do to pregnancy, right? So it's very painful and difficult. Really, I'm not one of those writers who's like, oh, this is fun. I'm like, this is agony. So I'm writing a new book on marketing. It's called The Marketing Book, and it's called Think, Do, Learn. And what I'm doing different about this book is on my YouTube channel, which is for the JM Internet Group, I'm posting the playlist as I get the big sections done of the book. So I've literally just started. And as I'm writing the chapters, I'm putting the videos up that are kind of summaries of the chapter. And I'm asking people who want to participate to go to the YouTube and comment and what is their feedback as I'm writing the book. So I'm really doing it in an interactive way. And I'm very keen for kind of people who would like to see drafts of the book as I write it. So my first book, I'm really targeting audio format because I'm very successful in Audible. But this book, I'm really going to go audio native, and I'm writing it in a very, conversational style. And it's on practical marketing concepts, like how do you think about your business value proposition or customer segments or positioning, things that I've run into from my other books that the average person just doesn't quite get, and I think is a huge marketing concept.
Well, I'm super interested to be, would love to participate and support you however I can in that way.
Oh, thank you. That's great.
Who's one guest that you think we absolutely have to have on the show?
A guest that you have to have on the show. That's interesting. There are some people on LinkedIn. There's a woman, I believe her name is Viveka von Rumen, I believe, and she does a lot on LinkedIn, and very interesting person, I think, for LinkedIn marketing. I think LinkedIn is another one of these nuggets that I think people have not really sort of, you know, kind of focused on enough. So I would say she would be a person who could be an interesting guest. And apologize if I said her name wrong. I just met her at Social Media Marketing World and was just blown away. She's like the LinkedIn goddess.
Well, we'll figure it out. I mean, when we connected and booked your interview, I use a few tools. So I use Sales Navigator and Clearbit. So both of them pull up information, and it pulled up the fact that you are on LinkedIn. I thought, well, we'll wait till after the episode. LinkedIn's been huge for me. I get the count grows at a ridiculous pace every day. And it's a, I agree with you. Super good tool.
Yeah. And it's also, I think, a little bit like, it's not, LinkedIn is not the sexy social media, right? It's not the one that you're like, oh, wow, it's so cool. It's my Instagram photos, you know? But yeah, so that's a good one. I think a lot of entrepreneurs can, especially B2B, right? B2B often gets a little bit of the short end of the stick on social because it's not as fun as the consumer stuff. So I think LinkedIn, I would definitely focus on that. I think that's an area where we could kind of get some
coffee. Is Kim Kardashian free?
Well, okay, I don't want to be politically incorrect here, but I will tell you, I am very, and this is not a political statement. I'm not saying right or wrong. What I am saying, though, of people to watch that understand how to influence the media, Milo Yiannopoulos, who's very controversial. I am a big fan, not necessarily that I agree with his politics, but wow, does he understand media? You know, he's got this book, Dangerous, which was banned and then published and not banned. There's nothing better for your book than being banned, right? You know, nothing will sell books, you know, like that. And so he's a kind of an interesting character about his media strategy and how he uses the media. And I think you as an entrepreneur, I mean, I wouldn't be as extreme and crazy and controversial as he is, but I really believe in looking at a person, whether it's, say, Donald Trump or whoever, that you don't necessarily agree with, but looking at their strategy, like what is their strategy in terms of media? And I think there's a lot to learn there. So he's a person.
I totally agree.
And I'm not saying, I know, you know, God, I don't want to flame war here. I'm not saying I agree with him politically. I'm just saying, you know, media strategy, really, really interesting.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, my experience has been that if, you know, somebody is, you know, they're kind of wishy-washy, they're not sure, you're okay, I like you, it doesn't work. I found that strong personalities where there's either a love or hate relationship always draws the media attention and outperforms the someone who's complacent.
Well, yeah, you mentioned Gary Vee, right? He's sort of the same genre, right? Yeah. I mean, you know, sort of love him, hate him, but he's very brash and in your face and, you know, New Jersey. And the Knicks that he's into, whatever sports team, right? I mean, but his personality really comes out, and I really admire that in him. And he has rabid fans and people that love him. And he's not milquetoast, no, right? He's not milquetoast. And that's great, right? And then I think I really admire that in, and that really gets his brand out there. And he's authentic. He's who he wants to be. I don't want to be that brand. That's not me. I'm very like practical, and I'm like like the turtle. I'm like, I'm going to tell you how to do it from the bottom up in a very practical sense. That's what I like. I like some technical knowledge, but other people are different. So I think you have to be true to your brand, but also look at other people and other entrepreneurs and think like, what are they trying to do? And what are their, this is all very thought out. It's, you know, the really successful ones are not, it's not accidental.
No, I agree. I mean, even with Kim Kardashian, you look like you said, there's a plan there, and the plan works. It's working for her. Yeah, but it's working for her sponsors.
Reality TV. Yeah.
That's right. Well, hey, thanks so much. So listeners, we had this, you listened to Jason McDonald. I think he shared a ton of value, a ton of information. I know when I'm finished the podcast, I'll be heading over to LinkedIn to connect with him and then trying to decide which of his books I should read first. So thanks again for your time. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure that if you're not subscribed, subscribe to us on iTunes. If you like this episode or others, we would welcome your honest feedback and a review. So thanks again, Jason. Well, there you go, listeners. Thanks again, and we'll see you next episode.
That's all for this episode of Real Marketing Real Fast. Now it's time to take your marketing to the next level by visiting DougMorneau.com and downloading our advanced marketing white papers, as well as exclusive resources based on today's episode. That's DougMorneau.com. Until next time, we look forward to serving you right here on Real Marketing Real Fast.